Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is Melachim Bet Perek Aleph. Even though we speak of it as a different sefer and as a new book, it is, of course, not necessarily so. It's a continuation of the previous stories, because in the original Tanakh, there was just Sefer Shmuel, no Shmuel Aleph Shmuel, but there was Sefer Shmuel, and no Sefer Melachim, and that was it. That was the end of it. So this is a fairly short perek, and it won't take us all that long to learn it today. So Achav has passed from the scene, and Moab is no longer bound to, or no longer subservient to, Yisrael, to the northern kingdom. Their power goes down with the passing of Achav, because Achav was a powerful ruler, and once the ruler passes from the scene, then the vassals, or the subservient ones, test the limits, as it were. So, Vayipol Achaziah be'ad ha'svacha ba'aliyato asher b'shamron v'yachal. So, Achaziah falls through. Now, asvacha is a netting. So, Rashi describes it as a netting in the roof where they would have, it was maybe made of planks, but the point of the netting was to let light in, to let light and sunshine in, so there would be light in it. That's what the Radak explains it. So he falls through it, and he is injured and ill. Vayishlach malachim vayomer lehem luchud yirshu b'baal zivuv Elohei Ekron imechye michol izeh. So this is a fascinating thing to watch, right? You have Nevi'im, you have prophets around. You have Eliyahu, you have Eliyahu's student Elisha. There's a bunch of Bnei HaNevi'im around who we'll meet in the coming Prakim. We've already met Michayu ben Yimla. We've seen more than one Navi around. And yet Achaziah is so caught up in the culture of idolatry that he sends to, instead of sending to one of the Navi'im, instead of sending to find out Dvar Hashem, he sends to Baal Zavuv, the god of Ekron, the idol, not the god, that's a... It's a small g, but it's still not the right word. The idol or the deity that they worshipped of Ekron. And it comes back to the question of why that one? So you might assume that the god of Ekron, or this idol of Ekron, was known as a medically related doctor or something like that. That would be the best we could assume. And that therefore they were to them, and that's the version, that's what paganism was about. It was about finding the right deity to cure you, to heal you, to whatever it is that you needed. So in this case, Umalach Hashem diber Eliyah hatishbi kum alei likrat malachei melech shamron v'daber aleihem hamibli ein elokim b'Yisrael atem olchim lidrosh b'val zavuv Elohei Ekron. So Malach comes to Eliyahu and he tells him to go and intercept the messenger of the king of Shamron with exactly that message. What are you doing sending to Zavuv, to Baal Zavuv, which, if you translate it into English, it is Beelzebub. So this is where you get that that name. Beelzebub is Baal Zavuv, just translated into English. Badly translated into English, but not translated into English. So what are you doing turning to him? Is there no God in the Jewish people? V'lachein, Pasuk Dalet, V'lachein, Koma Hashem, Hamitash, Yalit Hashem, Lo Tered Mimena, Kimot Tamud, Vayelech Eliyah. So, therefore, this is what Hashem says. Therefore, this is what Hashem says, the bed that you have gone onto you, that you have risen onto, you're not going to come down from it because you're going to die. And so Eliyahu goes to deliver the message. Now that gets into an issue that we've spoken about before, the question of, there's that Gemara, the question of whether or not people's lifespans are set, but they can only detract from them, or can they add to them? So in this case, it sounds like Achaziah has managed to detract from his life by the way in which he's been acted. It's only because, meaning just the falling through the svacha was not going to kill him. And had he turned to Eliyahu to try to find out what was going to happen to him, apparently it sounds like he would have gotten a good answer. But by virtue of sending the messengers to Baal Zavuv, so that's where he's going to be a problem. So Eliyahu goes, Vayashuvu amalachim elav, vayomer aleihem mazeh shavtem. So the messengers come back, because Eliyahu tells them their message, and they come back, and he says to them, why are you back so fast, right? Instead of going all the way to Ekron, they stop on the way, they meet Eliyahu, they turn around. And so they tell him, the king, a man came towards us, and he spoke to us. ויאמר אלינו לכו שובו אל המלך אשר שלח אתכם ודיברתם אליו, כאמר השם מלי אין אלוקים בישראל, אתה שולח לדרוש בבעל זבו ואלוהי עקרון, לכן המיטה אשר עלית שם אותו ממנה כימות תמות. So they call back to Ahaziah exactly the language that Eliyahu was told to tell him. We met him when? And he comes, says to us, the, go back to the king who sent you and tell him, is there no God in Israel? That language of Hamiblein Elokim Bisrael is reminiscent of language you know from the Haftarot that will come up later in Melachim when Elisha cures Naaman of his leprosy. And the point that he makes is that the reason he's curing Naaman is to let him know. He says that Naaman gets leprosy, we'll see it later, but Naaman gets leprosy. He sends a message to the king of the northern kingdom saying, heal me or I'll be in, you'll be in big trouble. The king is upset, and Elisha sends a message to the king saying, and let him know, ain't Navi be Israel. Isn't there no prophet in Israel? So it's the same idea, that they're trying to make the point, these prophets are trying to make the point that the northern kingdom is refusing to pay attention to. It's not necessarily that they don't do or don't believe in God, but they don't believe in God power in the situations that they're not accustomed to believing in God's power. So here it's a question of healing him, and there too is a question of healing him. They apparently just didn't believe that God would intervene in illness and heal people. So when Achaziah hears that a man said this to his messengers, Vayidaber aleihem, ma mishpata isha asher ala likrotchem, Vayidaber aleihem el rimei elu, what was he like, this man who stopped you and spoke these things to you and said these things to you? What was his appearance? What was he like? Vayiru elav, ish baal se'ar, ve'ezor or azur b'monav, vayomar, Eliyahu hatishbihu. So they said to him, he's got a lot of hair, which is a well-known characteristic of Eliyahu, and he's got a belt of leather that was apparently what he tended to wear around his loins. And so the king says, it was Eliyahu Atishbi. So the Radak notes that Ahaziah recognized him because this is what was characteristic of Eliyahu. But the question is, how come the messengers have to describe him? They don't know what Eliyahu looks like? They don't know. So the Radak suggests that either these messengers were people who had not generally been in Shomron, and they were new to Shomron, and that in being new to Shomron, they hadn't seen Eliyahu, because Eliyahu tended to disappear for a while. We know the story of Eliyahu going for 40 days and running from Izebel and all of that. So the Radak suggests that there were long periods in which Eliyahu had not appeared in Shomron, and he notes that those are why we see Michayu ben Yimla having interactions with Achav at the end of his life and taking care of that important aspect of prophecy. So the Radak suggested Eliyahu was sort of a figure who tended to flit in and out of events in Shomron. He wasn't always a fixture on the scene. He was known, he was fearsome, but he wasn't always around. And that's sort of an interesting perspective because it gives us insight into other things that happen, such as when Eliyahu meets Ovadia that we saw in Malachim Aleph, and Ovadia says to him, no, I'm afraid of telling Achav that you're appearing because you'll just disappear. Eliyahu is apparently a figure and a character who tends to appear and disappear at times that the rest of the people don't understand. They don't see a rhyme or a reason to it. They just know that it happens. So here too, you have Ahaziah, the king of the northern kingdom, and his messengers have not met Eliyahu, they don't know Eliyahu, and when they meet up with him, they don't even realize who they're meeting up with, because Eliyahu is such a person who is not well known by sight to everybody in the populace. So now, though, the king is annoyed. So, Vayishlach Elav, Sar Chamishim V'Chamishav, he sends an officer of the 50s, right? The structure of Jewish government was from the time of the Torah, and apparently here we're finding out that it continued, was that you have people who are officers of 10, people who are officers of 50, of 100, and of 1,000. And that's the way they structured their hierarchy of influence and of armies and things like that. So he sends a Sarach HaMishim with his 50 men that he's in charge of. Vayal Elav, and he goes to him. V'hinei Yoshev Arush Ahar, Vayidaber Elav Isha Elokim, HaMelech Diber Reida. So this officer of the 50s speaks commandingly to Eliyahu. He says, man of God, so that's reasonably good, right? There we see him understanding who is the leader of the, what his role is among the Jewish people, Eliyahu's role. But then he says, and this is what's going to get him killed, he says, the king said, come down, meaning come meet me, I need to talk to you. So he's summoning Elisha. He's sort of serving a summons on him. He's subpoenaing him, whatever it is that he's doing to him. Vayane Eliyahu vaydaber el sara chamishim. V'imisha lo kimani tered esh min hashamayim v'tochal otcha v'chamishecha. V'tered esh min hashamayim v'tochal oto v'chamishav. He says to him, well, if I'm a sara chamishim, if I'm an isha elokim, sorry, if I'm an isha elokim, then I should have powers. And if I have powers, let fire come down from the heavens and eat up you and your men. And that's what happens. And they eat up him and his men. So Eliyahu is, shall we say, unhappy. And he takes it out on this guy for his impertinent attitude towards Eliyahu. Vayashov. So Ahaziah is not impressed, apparently. They disappear. You have to assume they heard something about what happened to him, but they at the very least disappear. So, Vayashov, Vayishlach Elav Sar Chemishim Acher, Vachamishav, he sends him another 50 with his men, right? Vayom, Vachamishav, sorry, Vayam, Vayidaber Elav, Isha Elokim, Komar Elokim, Komar HaMelech, Mehera Reda. So this guy says, Isha Elokim, so said Hashem, Mehera Reda. Quickly, get up and come down, right? And turn, and move down. So, it's a little surprising. We don't know exactly what the second group knew about what happened to the first group, but we're going to find out the third group knows what happens to the second group and the first group, so we don't know what they knew or didn't know, but it's odd that you send 50 men with their officer, and they completely disappear, and you immediately send another 50, and they say the same exact thing, worse, Mehera Reda, hurry up and come down. And it thus says the king. So it's not only, it's apparently the king who ignores it, in addition to the messenger. The messenger says it the way the king told him to, and the king said it. So, happens again. Right? A fire of God comes down from the sky and consumes this troop as well. He sends a third group and his men. Vayal Vayavo Sar HaChamishim HaShlishi. So this one already has learned a lesson. Vayichra al Birkav LeNeged Eliyahu. He bends down on his knees in front of Eliyahu. Vayichanein Elav. And he pleads with him. Vaydaber Elav Isha Elokim. Please, man of God. Tikar Nan Nafshi V'Nefesh Avadecha Ele Chamishim V'Enecha. Let our souls be valuable in your eyes. So he's not doing what they did. So he knows the story. The first two eaten up by fire. So if you assume he knows the story, it's plausible the second one knew the story as well, and yet spoke the same way. And you wonder about that. So I think it comes back to the question we're going to see in a second. Eliyahu doesn't have this power all the time, apparently, right? Remember that Eliyahu was afraid of Izebel. Eliyahu was... and fled Izebel. We're going to see in a second that apparently he also is afraid here. He's not sure what's going to go on here. So some of the fire coming down is because Eliyahu thinks that he has to resist going because he's afraid of what happens if he would go. So this third guy is recognizing that even though Eliyahu is not all powerful, can't always summon that power, he's afraid of the power that he can summon. He speaks to Eliyahu in the appropriate, in a reasonably appropriate way. The first two guys and their men. And please don't kill me. He doesn't even tell him to come down. So why did he come at all? Like, you could have imagined him running away from the king, but I guess he doesn't feel able to do that. So he goes on his assignment. He goes to the Eliyahu, but he begs for his life, and that's all he does. And he doesn't even say if the king wants to see you. He just says the king, Eliyahu clearly knows the king wants to see him. So, Vaydaber Malach Hashem Eliyahu Reid Oto Al Tiram Mipanav Vayakam Reid Oto Al HaMelech. So, Malach comes to Eliyahu and says, go with them and don't be afraid. So, Eliyahu goes. Striking. Malach says, don't be afraid. And the Radak says clearly, don't be afraid because he was afraid. Right? Because he was afraid. So, that whole idea of being afraid highlights for us, we've seen this with Michael being in jail, we've seen many things. Don't be afraid is because Nevi'im aren't always guaranteed protection, and it has nothing to do with them being true or false Nevi'im. It has to do with they don't have direct protection from God all the time. And God lets some events continue, just go as they went. So here, Eliyahu is now guaranteed protection, so he goes to the king. Vayidaber elav So he gives the same exact message. There's no new information. He comes because the king told him to come, but he doesn't have anything new to say. That's what he's telling him. And in fact, the king dies, as Eliyahu predicted. And Yehoram takes rule instead of him. Rashi points out, Yehoram is his brother rather than his son. So apparently Yehoram, Ahaziah did not have children, or certainly not children of an age to take over the throne. So Yehoram takes over the throne. Mishnah 2, Yehoram ben Yehoshaphat, Melech Yehudah, Kidoy Eloven, right? Because it says he didn't have any children, any sons. He did not manage to create an heir, to produce an heir, and therefore the kingdom passes to his brother, V'yetibri Ahaziah, Asher Asah, and the rest of what he did is written in the book of Malchei Yisrael. So I've pointed out many times that that's the history book and this is not the history book. All I'd also begin pointing out is to notice that all of these kings, regardless of how long or short their reign was, have a thing to put in Sifrei Malchei Yisrael. They have a story. And that story appears in Sifrei Malchei Yisrael. So it's another interesting aspect of the contrast between history and Tanakh, in that history, the Sefer Malchei Yisrael, notes everything they did. And so therefore, even the shortest reign has things, that they fought a war, they lost a war, they won a war, whatever it is they did, but there are things that they did, and they appear in the history books. So a longer reign will have more scrolls of parchment, more pages written about it than a shorter reign, but the sons write about everything. Everything's got history, everything's interesting, everything is worth noting. The contrast is that in Navi, we only notice what's important in our terms. And so here too, this is a short reign, no heir, passes to his brother, and all we really know about it is that Moab was poshea on him, and that he fell through a lattice work in the skylight, and that he died because of his turning to Baal Zivuv, the idol of Ekron. And that's all we know. But there was Sefer Malchei Yisrael, right? End of story and end of this reign. That's the end of this perek, short one, with only these few messages about the Nevi'im, about turning the wrong way, turning to the wrong deity, the wrong idea of deity, for help in times of trouble. And tomorrow we'll see a different take on the issue, a different perspective on Nevi'im. We will see Eliyahu's passing from this world. But for now, this is Perek Aleph of Sefer Melachim. Have a great day.